So now we invite Brother Kirk Nickel to develop the theme, Imitate God in Your Family, Using Resources Wisely. Brother Nickel.
The story is told about the young man that it was evident from his early ages that he was excelling in certain abilities. He loved gymnastics. His parents recognized that as well. And they supported him wholeheartedly. They would go to the gym with him. They bought extra courses. And while his peers were out playing, he was in the gym just strenuously struggling to improve in his abilities because he wanted to represent his country in the Olympics. Now, there's something we can learn from that. It's that this family used their time, their energy, their resources to support this individual in something that was important to them. What can we learn from that? Well, you know, we can ask ourselves, what am I willing to make sacrifices for? What is important to me in my life? Am I willing to use what I have at my disposal and spiritual interest to advance the kingdom interests? Now, it's recognized that every family has different situations and different resources at their disposal. Some are struggling just to make a living and takes extra time, energy just to provide for their family, while others have excesses in those areas. But the thing is, we want to examine ourselves. And what we're going to do, is, for example, first of all, is we're going to look at how Jehovah wisely uses resources and how we might imitate him. For example, all of us are breathing. We're breathing in oxygen. Feels good, doesn't it? But we're breathing out carbon dioxide. How come this room just doesn't fill up with carbon dioxide? How come the earth just doesn't fill up with carbon dioxide so that we're struggling to find some oxygen to breathe? Well, you know, Jehovah has put in a process, very fascinating. The plants, they take in carbon dioxide and nutrients, and through this process called photosynthesis that mankind can't understand, it produces oxygen with no harmful wastes. It's a cycle. It's complete. Jehovah could have done other things. He had disposable power in any area, but it was an efficient recycling of resources. His son, Jesus Christ, learned from that as well. You remember the account in John chapter 6, it talks about it. The crowds were there, they were hungry, and about 5,000 men. And what did he do? Well, with 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, he performed a miracle to feed them all. Turn with me in John chapter 6, verse 12. And when we look there, we're going to find what Jesus did. That's John chapter 6 and verse 12. And it says there, but when they had eaten their fill, he said to his disciples, gather together the fragments left over so that nothing is wasted. He could perform a miracle and just make more. But he wisely used the resources at hand. He didn't waste anything. So, you know, we might ask ourselves, can we imitate Jehovah? Can we imitate Jesus in wisely using the resources that we have at our disposal, not wasting them? So what we're going to look at is 3 areas that we have things that we can use. For example, our time, our abilities, and our material possessions. So let's first of all look at our time. Turn with me to the scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And here Paul gave us some direction on the use of time. It says, so keep strict watch that how you walk is not as unwise persons, but as wise persons. Now, how can we be wise? Making the best use of your time because the days are wicked. Now, I know the days are wicked, but how are we making the best use of our time? We feel like we're so pressed for time. Well, again, Jesus set an example when he sent out his disciples, and he said to them, don't embrace anybody with a greeting along the road. Well, Why did he do that? Was he telling them to be snobs and not talk to anybody? No, we have to look at the customs at that time. When they would meet somebody, well, they would embrace them, they would prostrate themselves, and it would go on and on and on and on. How's your family? And they didn't have time to do that. They would greet them, but not get involved so that they could use their time more efficiently and make the best use of their time in proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. So can we apply this to ourselves? Let's just look at one area for time, entertainment. Examine the family. How much time do we spend on entertainment? Now, there's all kinds of entertainment out there, whether it's, you know, we like to ski or go to the mountains, take vacations. But let's just even narrow it down a little bit more. Television. Now, in the last century, when TV was produced and I was a little kid, we didn't have to get up to change the channel. It's because there was only one channel. But TVs weren't that reliable, and the family's on a budget, and we're watching TV, and the TV breaks. One channel, and after about a week, I can still remember the conversation in the household. Man, do we have a lot of extra time now that we're not watching TV? Satan recognized that, didn't he? What do we have today? How many channels? Just to give you another little insight, there's something happened to our internet, and so the provider said, well, we're going to give you 3 free movies. So my wife and I sat down the other day, well, let's take advantage of this, you know, it's free. It took us 45 minutes to find a movie that we could watch. Now Satan says, okay, here's television. Look, you can watch on your phone, your iPad, or your device. So again, take time. Examine what we're doing with our resource of time, and you know, we may find ourselves that we have more disposable time than we thought. You know, to Auxiliary Pioneer is only 1 3/4 hours a day. Do we spend that much time watching television? Just something for us to think about. How about our abilities? You know, all of us have some kind of an ability, some kind of a talent. Whether it's even just commenting at the meeting, maybe we give good comments, or maybe it's greeting people at the Kingdom Hall, but maybe we feel, you know, somebody else, much better than I am. They can do a better job. We're just not adequate enough. But remember, we might be selling Jehovah short. When they were building the tabernacle, and they had to make all these special things, do you remember what Jehovah did? Well, he enhanced the natural abilities of Bezalel and Oholiab so that they could build these craftsmen, these working with metal and gold and silver. Well, today, Jehovah promises to help us in the same way, to use our abilities. Perhaps there could be something that be holding us back. Maybe it's that we're not meditating what we can do more for the kingdom. When the Jews were rebuilding the temple, Haggai came and they were distracted. They were looking at their own homes. And what did he said is that they basically had lost their focus. So maybe we can examine what our focus is. Is it supporting the kingdom? Is there things in mind that we can do more? Well, an article in our January 15th, 2015 Watchtower, it was an interesting article. It says they offer themselves willingly in New York, and so the building projects there. And it gives us all these experiences of these different brothers that have been there. And the conclusion of the article kind of asked us a question. He says, as the number of kingdom proclaimers increases, and as we near the end of this system of things, there is an urgent need for more facilities. And then it discusses the kingdom halls, remote translation office, theocratic school facilities, etc. And it says, these buildings call for many willing volunteers who have the experience necessary. Well, somebody else can do it. They're better than me. But maybe you could re-examine yourself. Could you use your ability to help in these areas? Just recently, the elders received a letter looking for people with experience and encouraging them to fill out an application to use these different abilities they have in helping progress in the kingdom work. And I think the whole article is summed up nicely by what this one volunteer worker, Deborah, said. She says, "Sometimes I feel as if I've stepped into one of those paradise construction scenes that are featured in our publications. Taking their abilities, using them wisely, and relying on Jehovah to continue the building of the kingdom halls." The other area we're going to look at is our material possessions. You know, significant money is needed to support the building of kingdom halls. Since 1999, over 24,000 kingdom halls have been built in areas where there's less financial ability. Still, another 6,500 or so are needed. It takes money to produce the millions of magazines and literature that we receive. And Jehovah is thankful for the donations that we give to them. And the governing body has expressed that a number of times, even on our broadcast. But what can we do to make sure that we're supporting the kingdom work? Let's turn to a principle that's found for us in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verses 1 and 2. It says there, "Now concerning the collection for the holy ones, you may follow the directions I gave to the congregations of Galatia." Now, what were those directions? "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set something aside according to his own means, so that collections will not take place when I arrive." What's Paul talking about? A budget. Let's put something aside for material or for the kingdom interests. He didn't say how much, but he said according to your own need. So likewise, like the Christians in the first century, we can plan ahead according to our circumstances. We need to consider our daily necessities, but can we do something for the kingdom interest? In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 22, Jesus then told us a way that we might be able to do this. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 22. It says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If then your eye is focused, your whole body will be bright." So what could we focus on when it comes to maybe setting aside something more? Maybe there's things that we like to have that we don't really need. Could we stop buying them? Could we stop buying maybe magazines or extra CDs or unnecessary accessories for the car? Now, I got thinking about this. You know what, guys, we like that extra little bling on our cars. Our wives never notice it, but we like to have, you know, the shiny hubcaps. I bought some tires for the car. Well, you put extra rims on because that way you don't have to change your tires over every, just the rims. But, you know, those are black, ugly rims, and so I buy some nice, shiny hubcaps, and they put them on. Car looks nice, but, you know, I didn't get any better traction. So, the idea is not that we want to cut back just so we have less. We're trying to simplify so that these things that we don't really need, we could perhaps use for better concerns, like supporting the kingdom work. So we asked ourselves, are we doing that? Well, what we're going to do, we're going to look in on a little scenario, a little scene here. A father and a son. Now, they're having this discussion, and the son is all excited about the latest and greatest new cell phone. Let's see what happens.
Dad, close your eyes. I'm going to bring you the best news ever.
What? Did you finally clean your room without being told?
Come on, Dad. I did that last week. Well, almost. Anyways, I got this email from a mobile provider.
What? They're going to charge us for breathing too?
Seriously, Dad, this is huge. The Xcelium phone, it's ours. When I say ours, I mean it's 7-inch screen, it's new camera, it's new operating system, and the best multitasking features.
Okay. So what's the catch?
All we have to do is renew a new contract for another 2 years, which we'd be doing anyways.
The Excelsium. I remember that phone came out last week, and people were camping out to get their hands on that phone. And now we can just order it online? Is that easy?
That's what I'm saying. No camping out, no problem. They'll send it to our door just for signing up.
Well, we do need to renew our contract. But since you're giving this amazing phone for free, well, that sounds like a good deal.
Okay, Dad, let's get serious here. It's Excelsium phone we're talking about here. It can't exactly be free. They'd be losing money.
The fine print. I know there was a catch. So if they are not giving this amazing phone for free, well, how much will it cost?
Get this. Regular price, $800. For you and me, a mere $200. That's like 75% off.
75% off? That's not too bad.
It gets better. If your new phone comes out the next year, we could trade this one in for it at no cost.
That's amazing. I wonder how they do that. Don't get me wrong, son. I saw the phone, even held it. Someone in the office has one, and it's a very cool phone. But still, there's that cost.
But Dad, it's a fraction of the regular price. We'd be saving so much money.
Savings? Really? Your phone and my phone is less than a year old.
Yeah, but they're not as cool as the Excelsium.
No, they are not. But can you think of other ways that we can use that money? Now, let's say we are buying four phones. That's $800. One for your mom, one for your sister. And knowing your mom and your sister, they will want accessories. That's another $200. Combine that, that's a cool $1,000.
What can you do? It's how the industry works. Still, it's the best deal I've seen in years.
Well, But what about that new suit you wanted for the demonstration of the assembly?
That is true. I do need a new suit. What's happening now are getting quite small and they're pretty hard to fit in.
I have to admit that you have outgrown that old blue one. It needs to be replaced. And you know what? We are building a Kingdom Hall. I don't think this is the right time to buy something that you don't really need.
I hate to say it, but I can see what you mean, Dad.
You know, when we think of all the Kingdom work in our area, around the world, in our branch, you know, many of our brothers and sisters are suffering because of natural disasters. You know, if we use our current phones, we're not going to die. I'll tell you what. Let's say we had some extra money, say $1,000, could be $500, or even $200, and help with construction costs around the world to help out with our brothers and sisters. What would you think about that?
I agree. It's just that the new Excelsium phone is so cool and big.
I know. It's shiny, it's thin, and it's really cool. How about this? Let's talk about it as a family. I want to hear what your mom thinks, because whatever resources we receive from Jehovah, we want to make sure that we use it in a wise and practical way.
I see your point. I agree. Bye-bye, Excelsium.
So I guess I get to keep my own BlackBerry. So what have we learned? Can we do more in giving our first fruits to Jehovah, concentrating and giving some of our resources to the kingdom work? Now, word of caution is we have to remember that we don't want to give from what we don't have. The scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8 and 12 says, if the readiness is there first, it is especially acceptable according to what a person has, not what according to a person does not have. So use what we have in a wise manner. Families that use these resources wisely show that they're imitating Jehovah. They're putting importance on spiritual matters.